worst sort. I was once introduced to a well-known pastor I was extremely nervous to meet. He was a hefty older man with a delightful soul who was determined to make me feel welcome. I should have felt honored. But as I saw him approaching, all the options of how to greet him danced in my brain, and I became increasingly freaked out with every step he took toward me. I stuck up my hand. He enveloped me in a bear hug, accidentally forcing my arm down in the worst possible location. Thankfully, he quickly backed away and instead placed his hands on my shoulders to say whatever he planned to say. Of course, I can't tell you what he said in the end because 243 alarm bells were going off in my head about the awkward hug possibly resulting in my being banned from every church this side of the Mississippi or the world. So, since hugs aren't usually my first choice, I didn't want to hug honesty. Actually, I never wanted to fully embrace honesty at all. I'm much better at it today than before, but I hesitate, knowing just how dangerous this can be. As long as I suspect that honesty's intention is to expose me and hurt me, it'll always feel like a dangerous thing. It's easier to construct a more palatable life story, where I can draw straight lines from each hurt of the past to the healing I later experienced, than to face the raw truth. I prefer to neatly match each hard part of my testimony with the soft place I landed in the middle of God's grace, forgiveness, and restoration as proof that I'm walking in freedom, which I am, most of the time. But honesty didn't want to talk to me about that. Honesty wanted to bring the core of who I believe I am and hold it up to the light of what's really true. And there's not a soul alive who will find perfect alignment there. Not one. No matter how saved, sanctified, mature, and free we are, there are misalignments embedded in our soul. So this is what honesty wanted to address with me. The cause of this misalignment is something we all wish would have stayed in the middle school locker room. Rejection. One maliciously crafted rejection with my exact vulnerabilities in mind will pierce the deepest part of me. Being mature in my faith can help me better process it. It can help me have a better reaction to it. It can even help me remove the arrow and patch up the wound. But spiritual maturity doesn't shield me from rejection. Today's rejections, big or subtle, are like stealth bombs that zing straight to my core, locating hurts from my past and making them agonizingly present all over again. They send messages that scramble up on my carefully established formulas for keeping life stable. The voices of doubt and insecurity whisper, "See, I've been telling you for years what an utter disappointment you are." Those voices don't have to scream. The pain does that in deafening tones. So honesty stares at me, and I nod my head. I agree. There's still work to be done. Finally, I see that honesty isn't trying to hurt me. It's trying to heal me. If you want to know what's really inside a person, listen carefully to the words she speaks. Recently, the Lord made sure I had an acute awareness of what some of my own words reveal. Hints of the misalignment between what's true and what I believe about myself leaked out one day at the airport. There's nothing like a serious dose of stress mixed with an extreme time crunch that makes a person's mouth forget its filter. What you really think spills out in words a little too raw and forces you to take a look at where they came from. There I stood, staring into an empty car trunk just outside the terminal, as a stabbing realization made my heart beat fast and my thoughts swirl. I had my itinerary. I had my driver's license. I had plans to get home. But I also had a rather inconvenient realization. I didn't have my luggage. Somewhere it hadn't made it into the trunk of the car. I thought another person had grabbed it. She thought I had. So there's that. Quickly, I called a friend who was still at the hotel. I breathlessly told her of my situation and asked if she could grab my luggage and stick it on the very next shuttle headed to the airport. And one other minor detail. I only had 15 minutes to spare before the airline would no longer allow me to check my bag. I'm not a nail biter, so instead I nervously picked at the little threads of skin at my cuticles. I twisted my fingers until my knuckles cracked. Again, not a normal habit of mine, but this wasn't a normal moment. Who shows up at the airport without their luggage? I paced back and forth, willing the shuttle band to speed, but then quickly repented because my rule-following brain made me. Mentally, I was beating myself up and recounting why in heaven I hadn't my gear, I had my luggage. I checked my watch. Things weren't looking good. The bus had more miles to go,